to compost.
This is something you've been on my case about since we started this show, Ellen. Starting up a compost. I know you have one, but maybe this will give me an incentive to start one at home.
About time. If you won't listen to me, I'm hoping that you listen to these experts.
Hi, my name is Jenny, and I'm a Senior Environment Officer at the Green Living Centre.
Hi, yep. My name is Suji. I'm the Senior Environment Officer at the Green Living Centre.
At my house, we put the typical stuff in the compost. Your food scraps, eggshells, leaves. But there's other stuff you can put in there that might surprise you.
Vacuum cleaner, dust, you can put in there. Like anything that was alive. Hair. You can put hair.
Whoa, wait. Hair? You can put hair in there?
And a chair as well.
Yeah, hair. You can put hair into your worm farm as well.
How fun and yummy for the worms.
I love this. Next time I get my hair cut, I'm going to check if my hairdressers have a worm farm or compost out the back. Better yet, I'm just going to pick up my hair droppings off the floor and take them home and put them in my own compost.
Kind of gross, but oh, I have an electric shaver. I could just stand over my compost and shave my face and just let the hair fall in. But let's get back to the point. There are some things you can put in the compost, and I'm sure there are some things that you can't. So let's go back to Suji and Jenny and let them give us the lowdown on composts.
Quite a lot of your food scraps. If you're new to composting, you generally don't want to put in any meat products, dairy, even a lot of like food with oils, chilies, onions. You really want to put in the pre-prep type of food scraps. Once you get a little bit more confident in it, you can start adding in other things, but really it's not recommended to put meat in. It would attract things like vermin that you really don't want in your compost.
How common is it for vermin to surround the compost bin? Like, is that something that people face a lot?
Well, because, in the inner city, unfortunately, rats are a problem. But if you keep your compost in a good condition, so basically if it's, not too dry, it's got the right moisture levels, and you're not putting things in there that will attract the rats, you should be fine. There is a way that you can keep the vermin out. If you still have a problem, you can put chicken wire underneath it, and that kind of helps them from digging underneath and going in there. But it's just also making sure you tend to it quite often. So keeping it active and turning it and knocking it every once in a while, it just makes it uncomfortable for the rats to live in it.
So we've got the bin. Obviously, there's a soil that you put in there. What are the other materials that actually make up a compost?
Right. So to start it out, the thing is, when you're actively doing your compost, you're making the soils. The way you start it out is you've got your compost bin, which would have, it's like a regular garbage bin, but without a bottom. You sit that on your grass or preferably somewhere on the ground so then all the worms and things can come up. And then you put a layer of like sticks and things like that creates, say, a bit of air layer down the bottom. And then you can start putting food and your leaves and grass. But there's a formula for making a compost. I mean, it's not like an exact formula, but you have to have a ratio of nitrogen to carbon. That sounds very scientific, but the nitrogen is mostly like your food, the green leafy stuff, like all your food. And then the carbon, if you think of carbon as kind of like dry brown material, so it could be dried leaves, it can be shredded newspaper, something that gives the compost a bit of structure. Because if you just put food in, it would just turn mushy and acidic and pretty, I guess, manky. Generally, it's like a two carbon to one nitrogen type balance, but it doesn't have to be exact. You just have to keep checking it. So you want to get that balance. And if it starts to smell a bit acidic and a bit pungent, put more carbon in there, shred up some newspaper, mix it up.
What are some of the things that people get wrong as opposed to not just throwing things that aren't meant to be in a compost? What are some of the things that people do wrong and the compost might fail sometimes?
So there's that mixture, getting the right mixture of carbon and nitrogen-rich materials. So commonly what happens, too much food waste in there without enough of the dry material will mean that the compost might start to smell. And that's a real barrier for people. No one likes a smelly compost in the backyard. The other thing is having the right amount of air in the mixture. So in order for the microbes to work, because it's not only that mix of carbon and nitrogen, they're sort of like the basic components of the compost recipe, if you like. But to that, you're actually then, in a sense, they're coming up from the soil. You might add some compost into it as a starter as well when you're building your compost. So some completed compost goes in. Then you're getting worms, you're getting macroorganisms, getting microorganisms, you're getting fungi. All of those things help to break the material down. And they work under the influence of oxygen, so there needs to be air in the mix as well.
What are the main differences between a worm farm and having a compost?
When people come into our shop front here, it's one of the most common questions that we're asked. What will work for us? And we have actually three particular items that we sell here that help people deal with their food waste. So there's the compost bin, there's the worm farm, and we also sell bokashi. Now, each of those deal with a different type of situation in terms of household situation and different types of food or otherwise what we call green waste, which includes the lawn clippings and things like that. So for the compost bin, it's really about how much space do you have? And in the very densely populated inner city, that's a real concern. Some people simply don't have the space for a compost bin. The second consideration is, do you have access to the carbon-rich material? Again, if you, for example, live in an apartment, it's pretty hard to come across dry leaves. So you're probably, but you might have a balcony, perfect. A worm farm's probably the best for you. And then for some people, again, they don't even have a balcony space. And so the bokashi is a type of solution to that. The bokashi bin takes only food waste, but you can put meat and dairy in that. So it's not, it works through a fermentation process, but at the end you need some space to, in the yard or somewhere in your garden, your apartment block garden, to actually dig that material into the soil so that the whole composting process is completed.
Composting is not only, in my opinion, a food waste issue, but then an energy issue at the same time, because if you're chucking it out and then it's being transported somewhere, and then the whole process of separating rubbish, and then if it goes to landfill, putting it into that. So there's a lot of exertion that happens with waste that isn't composted.
Yeah, exactly. It's all related, and, you know, lowering carbon emissions or working on that. It's almost every aspect of your, you know, your lifestyle. So it's food, it's transport, it's your lights, it's everything.
And that carbon's valuable. When it goes into landfill, the carbon that's useful is going into the air to pollute the atmosphere. So what we need to be doing is bringing that carbon back down into the soil, where it has much more value for us. So you're right, we're wasting food from a number of different levels. And why don't we just try to close that circle?